So thank you, Lord, for your mercy, your goodness. Thank you that you are King. And we accept this reality, Lord, and we ask you to speak to us now, that we be the ones who listen to your voice. We praise your name. So it's somewhat fitting that we're starting a Life in the Spirit seminar on the Feast of Christ the King. What a wonderful day to start a Life in the Spirit seminar, when we actually call upon the Holy Spirit during this number of weeks that we're going to have, preparing ourselves for a deeper infilling of the Spirit of God. And where the Spirit of God is, there is Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes to glorify Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes to empower us deep within here to be able to say, not just on our lips, but from the depth of our spirit, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is King. We heard in the Gospel, didn't we, where Jesus responded to Pilate, who said to him, "So you're a king then?" Because that's what they were accusing Jesus of being an earthly king. And Jesus says, "Yes, I am. You've said rightly. I was born for this. I came into the world for this, to bear witness to the truth, and all who are on the side of truth will listen to my voice." But not a kingdom of this world. Not like an earthly ruler. He said, if I was, I would have brought my armies with me, as earthly rulers tend to do. I would have armed my men and fought. No, not like that. But rather, the rule of love, the rule of God's power, which would prove itself most fully when he was slammed against the cross, the King of Love on Calvary. That sort of king. Very different from the expectation of the Messiah that they had at that time. He was to be the suffering Messiah, to be given fully for our sake with immense love. This King we celebrate today. And to be able to say and to know deep within myself that Jesus is not only my Savior, but he is my Lord, I need the Spirit of God within me. I need the Holy Spirit to enable me to say that and to mean it. You know, it says in Romans, if I confess with my lips that Jesus is Lord, and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. The early Christians didn't speak so much of the kingdom of God as they spoke of the lordship of Jesus Christ, but it's the same thing. That's the first thing they cried out after they'd received the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Jesus is Lord. He's the Lord of all. And when you know that, your whole life changes. Everything's different when you know that Jesus is Lord. You know, in Philippians, you see when Paul sings that beautiful song about how God emptied himself, taking on the condition of a slave, becoming like us in all things but sin. He went even unto the cross for our sake in such immense love. And then God the Father raised him from the dead and gave him the name which is above every other name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's our faith. That's what we believe from the depths of our hearts. That's what the Spirit shows us. And we need the Spirit to show us this truth. Recently I read again the Vatican II statement on Gaudium et Spes, which is the joy and hope for the modern world. And in that, it hits on what is the joy and hope for the modern world. It says, Jesus Christ, our Master and our Lord, is the key, the center, and the purpose of all human history. That's what we celebrate on this feast. That Jesus is the key to history, he's the center of human history, and he's the very purpose of human history. That's why, in the year 2000, John Paul II called us to celebrate 2,000 years since the birth of Jesus, because he is the key to history. And that 2,000 years was not just an empty celebration, but rather it was a celebration that God had entered human history. He'd become one of us. And so human history is now different because of Christ. And we mark that out, don't we? We have BC before Christ and Anno Domini, the year of the Lord after Christ. And we live now in the year of the Lord, 2012, huh? Every year is a year of the Lord since the coming of Christ, because all time belongs to him. Remember at Easter time when the priest blesses the paschal candle and he gets a stylus and he traces it over the year. In this case, it was 2012, huh? And also over the wounds of Jesus. And he says the words, Christ yesterday and today, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. All time belongs to him and all ages. To him be all glory and power at in every age. Amen. So all time belongs to him. He is the Lord of all history. And so, you historians, you need to rewrite your history. Put Jesus at the center. I'm not being too serious here. There's such a thing as scientific history, I know that. But in our understanding of things, we know that history is marked out by the coming of Christ, the first coming of Christ, as the frail lamb who went to the slaughter for our sake. And the second coming of Christ, which is yet to happen, when he will come again in glory, with all the powers of heaven, and he will come to judge the living and the dead, and all of history will come to its completion in him. We know that. So we're living in between the first coming of Christ and the second coming. That's how we see, that's the perspective we have on our lives and on the world and what's happening in the world. Empires come and go in the world, don't they? They rise up and powerful men and women express themselves and then they fade away and they crumble. We see it happening again and again. But the kingdom of God lasts forever. The sovereignty of Christ has been established and will last forever. And that's where we want to place our lives, huh? Under that sovereignty. And the Holy Spirit comes for that purpose. He's also the center of history. That means that what happened on the cross, you know, 2,000 years ago on Calvary, that wasn't just some incident back there that we then hear about and forget about. Most people acknowledge that Jesus was crucified. But that had absolute implications for the life of every human person in the world ever to be born. Because he is the only Savior, and by what he did on the cross, he set us free from the power of sin and gave us the capacity to live a new life in him. As human beings, he gave us the capacity to be human beings in the way that he was, in the truth, not living according to a lie, but be a true witness of the truth, because we listen to his voice. All that Christ has done. And then we also celebrate him at the center of history because God the Father raised him from the dead. And that was a great moment of human history. Without the resurrection, we'd have no hope. Without the resurrection, we may as well just get depressed and take the drugs or whatever and end up sort of in a mess. We may as well. without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But with the risen Christ, we have every hope. He's brought hope into humanity and purpose into our human history. So that's what we're taught by the church. He is the key, he is the center, and he is the purpose of all human history. And it's expressed in Ephesians, isn't it, where Paul says, in these days, the hidden plan of God is now being revealed. It was hidden for all ages, but now it's manifest in Jesus Christ. And God's plan is to bring all things together in Christ and to reconcile them in him. God has a plan for history, has a plan for the whole human race. And to the degree that we cooperate with that plan, to that degree can God accomplish fully what he has already achieved through the death and resurrection of Jesus. How wonderful is that? And Paul goes on to say in that text in Ephesians, he says, and God the Father raised Jesus from the dead, above every sovereignty, every authority, every power, every dominion in this world, even the President of the United States. Everyone, no matter how powerful they are, they fade into insignificance under the power and authority of Jesus Christ. Jesus is Lord. He's Lord and ruler of all. And then Paul goes on to say he's made him the ruler of everything. He's the head of the church, and he's the fullness of all that God ever intended to do within the whole of his creation. Jesus Christ is Lord. And it's wonderful to know this. And that's why we put on the Life and the Spirit seminar, so that the Spirit of God can come upon us more deeply. And this won't be just empty words to you, but you'll know it in your whole body, so that if it happened that you were persecuted, like sometimes people can be persecuted, and armies come in and they take us over and we have to defend our faith and we have to die for our faith, then you get chopped up in little pieces, and every piece of you will cry out, Jesus is Lord. Amen? Viva Cristo Rey! Christ is King! That's how we're to live, you see. Not only for the whole of history, but also for our own personal history. Jesus is the key, and he is the center, and he is our purpose. So we make it personal, existential if you like. The key, the way my life is to be interpreted. I can't interpret my life without Jesus. Is that the truth of your life? That at the end I'll be able to say, that person who couldn't explain their life apart from Jesus. You see? Because he's Lord. He's Lord of my life. The only way you can explain my life and the way it's unfolded is because of Jesus. And that's the case for every baptized person if we're living according to how God wants us to be. And that's why we ask for the grace of the Spirit to come to fulfill our baptism, to renew our baptism, so that that can actually be the truth of my life. That's explainable only because of Jesus. He's the key. And he's also the center. Because so often, you know, in our lives, the big center of our life is Big E. You know who Big E is? Ego. Me. The center can be me, and everything's revolving around me. So, of course, I'm a very benign person, but this is just what it's like. You know, my family is over here, and I'm really dedicated to my family. I like them, and over here, there's my job, and over here, there's my different hobbies, and over here, there's my recreation, and over here, there's my church life and Jesus, too. And they're all revolving around me. So Jesus revolves around me. Have you heard of a Copernican revolution? That's what we need. That's what a Life and Spirit's about, a Copernican revolution. Remember, they used to think that we sort of like had it the wrong way round in terms of the sun, and how we need to be able to see that instead of having everything revolving around me, that everything in my life revolves around Jesus. He becomes the center. So I have to be dethroned from inside here somewhere, kicked off the throne, and Jesus has to come onto the throne. Huh? so that Jesus rules. You know, one time when the brothers were much younger and I was much younger, especially, we decided to go in the Canberra Times fun run from out the Woden into Civic. And so we thought, what will we call ourselves? We had to have a team name. So we called ourselves Jesus Rules. We had it written across here, you know. And we ran like rabbits, actually. We did very well. I think we got third or something like that. And so, you know, in the Canberra Times, it had Jesus Rules. You don't get that off in the Canberra Times, do you? I would like to see that more in the Canberra Times. Unfortunately, that doesn't happen. But the truth is, Jesus does rule, huh? He is Lord, and he's the center of it all, and we have to allow him to rule in our personal lives, huh? And to be the one who is at the center. And so everything else then finds its purpose and its direction, its meaning around him. That's the sort of conversion that the Lord wants to bring to us through a Life in the Spirit seminar. And oftentimes for us, it's a reclaiming of the truth, because you kind of made that decision one time in your life, and then somehow the things faded, and you got sort of distracted, and you got caught up in other ways and other attractions, and somehow or other you got off center, and you've got to come back again to the center, who is Jesus. So here's the key, here's the center, and he is the purpose of my life. He's the purpose. There's a beautiful text in John 6 where Jesus says, anyone who eats of me, well, first of all, he says, I live because of the Father. I live because of the Father, he says. That's his purpose. I live because of the Father. And anyone who eats of me, as we're about to do here, lives because of me. Who or what are you living for? Ultimately, we're meant to be living because of Jesus. That's the deepest reason for my living. That's why I get up in the morning. That's why I engage in the things sometimes I don't want to engage in, because I know it's his purpose. I live according to his will. I live because of Jesus, huh? Now, of course, we all do this imperfectly, me especially, but like, that's, I'm trying to sort of encourage you rather than sort of tell you that I'm perfect. But live because of Jesus. Right, so he's the key, he's the center, and he's the purpose of my life. Come, Holy Spirit, do we need you to make this happen in our lives? Do we need your Holy Spirit? Because without your sanctifying work, we're off center. We don't have the right key, and we're a little bit sort of without purpose. And we need you, Holy Spirit. We need to be renewed in the Holy Spirit to be able to cry from the depths of our hearts, and for it to be the truth of our lives, not just an empty word, that Jesus is Lord, that he's Lord of my life. And you've probably heard me sing before, like, I'm not going to sing it now, but remember where that song, my beloved is mine and I am his, and his banner over me is love? It's lovely, isn't it? My beloved is mine and I am his. Oh, that'll do. But you got it anyway. So my beloved is mine and I am his. What a beautiful thing. That's like a marital sort of image, isn't it? That I belong to him, he belongs to me. Right? He's come to say, I love you and I claim you as my own. And I say to him, Lord, I surrender to you and to your love, because I've seen the immensity of your love when you died on the cross for my sake. King of love on Calvary, I open my heart to you and I welcome you to be truly the love of my life, the passionate concern of my life. All other concerns, all other desires, even those that are most pure, they come under you, Lord. You're the center of everything. I accept you as my Lord. There's a further part to the image. It's a military part. Because it says, his banner over me is love. And that's taken from the idea of the ancient battles when an army was sort of conquering another army. They carried the banner of the king. And the conquering king, when he'd conquered the other territory, he planted his banner down and says, this territory I claim as my own. Now, there's a battle that's going on inside of each of us as to who will rule inside of you. And what will you allow yourself to be given to Christ? And we must, with our will, decide and say, yes, Lord, I surrender to you. And I allow you to claim, and I allow your persuasive love to win me and to conquer me. So I'll be conquered by your love, and I choose you, Jesus, as the one who is the Lord of my life. So that's what the Holy Spirit does within us. He gives us that grace to make this the truth of my life. Jesus is the key. Jesus is the center. Jesus is the purpose of the whole of history. But Jesus is the key, he is the center, and he's the purpose of my personal life. And I turn everything over to him. I just finished with a little story. I was talking to a young man recently who was lining up to be quite a great scientist, really. And he had all the ability to do it. He was just finishing off his PhD. And he came to a Life in the Spirit seminar. And he was saying to the Lord in the Life in the Spirit seminar, I need to know, Lord, what you want. And he came up for prayer. And we prayed over him. And he felt just compelled to fall to his knees before the crucifix. And he was transfixed there for quite some time, just absorbing what Christ has done for him and how Christ had given everything for his sake. And he was opening his heart in surrender to the Lord and saying, I'm yours. 5 days later, after this wonderful experience, he was walking with another Christian, and it just so happened that this other man said to him, you know, someone like you would probably make a good priest. And he'd never thought about that before. He had this career path lined out for him, which would have made him quite a meteoric sort of rise in the scientific world. And surely that's what God would have wanted. But all of a sudden, something else hit his heart. And he felt that's what he had to do with his life. Now, I'm not going to say to you that when you do a Life in the Spirit seminar, you're going to sort of get a major life change like that. But just to illustrate that when the Spirit of God comes upon us, the Spirit of God has the purpose of God to bring us to that place where we were most intended to be. That place where we're most intended to go forward fruitfully in God. Now, he's passionate about each one of us. And he wants to have each one of us blossom beautifully and flower wonderfully in our lives. And that young man, that his life is blossoming beautifully under that new sense of what God really wanted in his life. And it's like that. That when we really allow the Spirit to come, then we'll really live a life rich and full in him, in God. And a life that's given over, not lived for myself, with me at the center, but a life that's lived for God. And a life can only be explained because of Jesus. And this is for everyone. This is for all the baptized. God wants this way for us to live. So I do invite you to the Life in the Spirit seminar. I invite you to go over and get involved in a group and just take those next few Sundays as an opportunity to really sort of open up to God, an opportunity to discover more deeply the truth that Jesus is Lord. Vivo Cristo Rey. Christ is King. And bless his name.